Obamacare is here to stay.
Tests, office visits, pills, hospitalizations. What do they all actually cost?
$330 billion with a B.
Marks the beginning of open enrollment in the health insurance marketplaces.
This is confusing.
You're listening to Health O'Clock, show number 9, recorded June 21st, 2016. We are your source for health news, trends, and insights. So now it's time to talk about healthcare.
Why, hello, Andrea.
Hi, Jay.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great. It's so awesome to be back in front of these microphones.
Indeed it is. So before we get started, I'm going to give my normal actuary disclaimer.
Oh, thank you.
That I am a health actuary, but I do not represent the views of my company, my former company, the Society of Actuaries, etc., etc. And all of the information I'm giving you is not proprietary. You can go out and find this information.
I can.
But first, you'd have to teach yourselves all about the healthcare industry.
Oh.
So I'm saving you a little bit of
Thank
time.
You.
You're
That's
welcome.
So kind.
Yeah.
I am Jay, and I am a normal guy. I do not represent Fox News, C-SPAN, whatever. I don't even represent Jeffrey from Toys R Us, the giraffe. I'm just a normal guy. But one thing I do represent is Snickers ice cream bars. Because I just had two right before the show. And I love them.
I bet Jeffrey likes them too.
Okay, maybe we can hang out.
Yeah. But you won't represent him.
We're just hanging out as buds.
That's cool. Yeah. That's all he wanted.
Anyway. Let's get into it.
All right. So first off, we've gotten some awesome feedback from our listeners about our last show on the single payer system.
That's right. If you haven't heard the show on the single payer system, it is actually worth going back and listening to. It's single payer systems, the idea that the government's writing one check.
Right.
And it's like Medicare for all.
Right. And we kind of did a what-if experiment. What would actually happen in the U.S. if single-payer came to pass? So we got this comment from one of our listeners. It's a really great comment, so I'd like to read it on the air.
Let's go ahead and do it.
I'd add that I would expect to see some of those existing healthcare companies to actually start that premium healthcare option you referred to. I knew you weren't going crazy in depth, but I got the impression you hadn't considered it. There would be a lot of economic movements going on at once, which is partially why I prefer a well-designed system versus simply advocating for single payer. I honestly don't know all of the details of the bill that might be proposed, but I do know there would need to be some compromise. People who hate their health insurance company would have to find compromise with the humans working in those industries. People who currently make tons of money will have to compromise with those who have none. It seems really daunting, but I do think over a longer time horizon, little bits of better will surface. I don't expect radical shifts or even welcome them. I just think if we deliberately lay bricks every day for a while, we may step back one day and see a large house where more people can find shelter from the storm.
That is wonderful feedback.
Yeah. Really great comment.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the paragraph at the beginning where he talks about the premium options.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that could occur. And we have seen that happen in other countries that have moved towards a single payer system where the wealthy purchase extra coverage and there's kind of another level of care for them.
Oh.
So that is something to consider. I do like a lot what he says about being very careful and deliberate about compromising and slowly thinking all these things through before we just go make this radical change.
Yeah.
Because as we've seen and as we've talked about over and over again, everything has a consequence. Everything that you move a dial in the healthcare system is going to affect 5 other things.
That's so true.
So, yeah, really, really great comment. So, thanks for the feedback.
Yeah, and keep as always, feel free to send in. If you hear anything or you have a different twist, we'd love hearing it. And we'll ask your permission first, and then when then feature it on the show. So, yeah, we just love getting the conversation going. So,
indeed.
Okay, I think it is time that we put on our learning caps.
Ooh.
And that we dive into this wonderful world that I think a lot of people are actually swimming in, called HSAs, or health savings accounts.
love that.
I'm ready to learn.
All right. So, health savings accounts. What are these things?
Actually, I do know. Teacher, I would like to speak up and tell you my experience.
Yes, Jay.
Yes, I'm a very, I barely know what this is. But at my job, they had a bunch of options, and I recently switched to that whole HSA bit. And from what I gather, they gave me, it's a checking account or a banking account that even comes with a card that they deposit, they being my company, deposit money into. And I have a higher deductible when it comes to actual healthcare, but I'm not paying anything out of my paychecks. It's actually cheaper as an employee to take this option. So that's all I know. Am I right? Am I close?
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard to talk about health savings accounts without pairing it with a high deductible plan,
yes,
which is what you've got. And incidentally, what I also have at my company. Insurance companies keep trying to manage care, and they keep trying to lower costs for people, keep their rates reasonable. So they keep bumping up these deductibles higher and higher and higher. And I'm sure you've seen it yourself. I'm sure you've heard people complain about these higher and higher deductibles. The solution, or perhaps the partner to high deductibles, are these health savings accounts, which, exactly like you said, Jay, they're like checking accounts. And they're supposed to make up the difference between the giant high deductible, if that makes sense.
It sure does.
Some cool features of these.
Okay.
Health savings accounts are tax deductible.
Mm-hmm.
So if your employer contributes money, or if you contribute money out of your paycheck, it gets pulled out before taxes. So you don't have to pay taxes on any money that goes into this health savings account.
Oh.
Even if you contribute post-tax money, like you get your paycheck and then say you decide to contribute afterwards,
mm-hmm,
you can declare it on your taxes at the end of the year. There's a
You're
special
kidding.
Form you fill out.
And yeah, I get my tax amount back.
Yeah, it's deducted from your taxes.
Ha!
So it's a pretty cool thing, a way to save up and be able to afford those high deductible plans,
yeah,
and pay for unexpected medical costs.
Wow. Another question.
Sure.
All right. Would I be in trouble if I used my HSA account, let's just say, to call up my good friends down at Domino's and have them deliver a pizza?
You can use your health savings account for that, but they will charge you between a 10 and 20% fee on that transaction.
Ooh.
So they're charging. You can pull it out and use it. If you get really strapped for cash and you need the $2,000 yeah, that's sitting in your account,
yeah,
you can do it, but they'll charge you a fee to pull it out and use it that way.
Okay.
So that's something to consider.
Is how bad do you want the pizza?
How bad do you want the pizza versus how bad do you want to be able to have money to pay your deductible?
I see. Okay.
So, and these accounts, you can go, so a lot of times people's employers will set them up, but you could go into a bank right now. Most banks, you walk in, say, I want a health savings account. They can help you set one up.
On your own. So you
on
don't even
own.
Need an employer to set this up. It's
right.
Just... Ah, wow, that's
there
cool.
are two other types. There's flex spending accounts, which your employer has to set up, and it's on a use it or lose it kind of basis. If you don't use your pool of money that year, it's gone.
So
that kind of sucks.
December 31st pizza might be in order in the flex savings.
Right, and you actually see a lot of that. People saying, oh no, it's towards the end of the year. I better go out and buy a bunch of stuff to use up my flex savings account. Flex spending account.
Yeah.
The other type is a health reimbursement arrangement. These are typically used by groups to help people pay for healthcare. You don't contribute any money. You can't set it up. It's all done by your employer. So those are two other types. The most ideal one is the health savings account.
Yeah.
Because you keep your money. You own the account, not your employer.
Uh-huh.
Tax deductible. The only catch to this one is there's a limit to how much you can contribute per year.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Pretty, not bad.
Pretty great deal.
I actually think it's the way to go. I was set up on the old system once upon a time. I didn't know better. I thought, whatever, I'm young, I'll take the cheap one. And it turned out to actually be a pretty nice one. And then suddenly they started charging because it was pretty nice. And I thought, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's look at my options, and now I have a health savings account.
And that's actually what's, you'll see a trend. We went out on Twitter and looked, and there's a lot of people who did the same thing you did, but for some reason, they didn't get a health savings account, or they don't know about one, and now they're stuck with this high deductible, and they have a lot to say about that.
I see. And that brings up a pretty good transition into Twitter versus Twitter. In this corner, you will have Jay reading the anti-HSA tweets. And in that corner, you will have Andrea reading the pro-HSA tweets. All right, let's get into this. Let the fighting begin. All right, Karen Basin at Karen Basin Inguist says, Wareham, preliminary studies show that a switch to high deductible plans lead to delays in breast CA diagnosis and treatments.
Mm. Delays in, I think that's breast cancer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No.
Alita Eck, MD at Alita Eck, says, for serious medical events, you should buy low-cost, high-deductible insurance without government mandates.
At Medscape says, high-deductible insurance can lead to hashtag diabetes treatment delays, says researchers.
Juan Guzman at JGuzman12345 says, Q&A. High deductible plans make IU Health more consumer conscious.
At Better Doctor says, statistics on high deductible health plans, 43% of patients delayed are or skip test or treatment due to cost.
Remedy at Try Remedy says, 47% of people who are eligible don't have a health savings account and pay for medical expenses with after-tax dollars.
Hmm. So if you ask me, it seems like there's some economics going on in this bout.
There's a lot of people saying, we don't have money. I'm just not going to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
I don't have money to pay for that high deductible. So I'm going to skip treatment. I'm going to delay things. And that actually makes people sicker. So the high deductible by itself doesn't really seem like a good solution to making healthcare better.
No.
So the solution here, and I put those two statistics at the end, those two opposing views, 43% of patients delayed or skipped tests due to high deductible costs. 47% of people who are eligible for a health savings account don't know about it. They pay for their own costs.
Yeah.
There's probably some overlap between those two groups. The people that are paying for their own costs, don't know about health savings accounts, are the ones who are delaying treatment, skipping tests, that sort of thing. So they almost, those two things, the high deductible and the health savings account, need to be paired together.
Yeah.
To make sure that people aren't just getting sicker and not getting treatment.
So I have a question. All right. Would this be a situation where some people are employed by employers and they do not realize that they have an HSA account set up and therefore don't use it and are thinking, I'm so poor, I'm not going to the doctor until they're really sick? Or do most people kind of know what's going on here?
Well, you tell me. When you sign up, when you get hired for a job, you fill out all this paperwork, and one of the things is probably a sign up for an HSA account. How many people know that that exists? After they, like, if they've been working for 5 years, do you really know what benefits you have? I mean, you probably know if you've got a high deductible or not.
Yeah.
But do you know whether you've got this health savings account to offset it? I don't know. The other thing is, with the Affordable Care Act, we have all these people buying coverage out on the internet, out on these exchanges.
Sure.
And a lot of these plans, I think I saw a statistic, 60 to 80% of these plans are considered high deductible plans that people are buying. And I guarantee you, most of those people buying coverage on the internet don't know that they can walk into a bank and get a health savings account, get tax savings, and be able to save for that deductible.
So you're telling me if I was Joe self-employed, I can go into a bank and say, hey, I want to start a HSA account, and then go online and enroll in an Affordable Care Act plan and get my coverage a lot cheaper than other plans or, you know, other strategies.
Right. I mean, your option is either you go get a gold plan with a $500 deductible, spend $400 a month on it, or you take out a health savings account, you buy a bronze plan that has like a $5,000 deductible, and pair those two things together, especially if you're healthy and you've got time to save. Then maybe that's a better option to buy the bronze plan for $200 a month.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So, yeah, just something to think about. I guarantee most of those people don't know they can do this.
Wow. Well, thank you, Andrea. That's very informative. But I must confess that my brain, it only holds so much info at once. And I think it's a good time to kind of slow down, relax, put our feet up on the table. Take that sweet, sweet break that we all love. Hey, Andrea, will you cover for me? I'm going to the freezer. I need another Snickers bar.
Quick. Can I have half?
You got it.
Ah, what a great break.
That was wonderful.
I always enjoy those.
I know. Wait, ice cream sandwiches or Snickers ice creams or... Shh. Okay.
You're making them hungry.
I'm sorry. It's just that it's summer and it's so hot out and the heart wants what it wants.
This is very, very true. So we were talking before the break about high deductible health plans.
Oh, yeah.
And health savings accounts.
So at first... I'm not going to lie. When I enrolled in my HSA account, when I saw that there was a high deductible, like that, the phrase high deductible plan scared me. It's a scary thing to see on paper.
It's a scary thing, yeah. When you see that number and you're like, I'm expected to pay that before any of my benefits kick in.
Yeah.
It almost seems as like, well, why am I buying health insurance?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I went with it anyway.
But... the thinking is, if you have some catastrophic illness happen to you, let's say you get hit by a truck.
Yeah.
Let's hope this never happens.
An ice cream truck. I'll at least have a smile on my face.
And you survive.
Uh-huh.
But they rush you to the emergency room, and you stay for a month in the hospital, and your bill is $100,000.
Oh, man.
You're only, if you have a high deductible plan... you cover what, like 3,000 of it, and your insurance company covers 97.
Yeah.
So that might be worth having insurance for.
Yeah, no brainer. Yeah, totally.
So it's still worth buying insurance.
Yeah.
It's just you need to make sure you've got the cash on hand to cover the deductible, which most people don't.
Yeah, interesting.
So that's where these health savings accounts come in.
Okay.
Wow. So let's talk about how this is, what's going on in the news about these things.
Ooh, good idea.
I found two. One article came out today and one that's fairly current, talking about high deductibles and health savings accounts.
Okay.
So the first one is from Vox, VOX.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the title of it is, "This study is forcing economists to rethink high deductible health insurance," which, and then you read down into the article and they talk about how insurers set this up, believing that if people have skin in the game, they'll shop around for the best price.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Jay, I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
With your high deductible health insurance, how often have you shopped around for the best price when you go to the doctor?
Not once. Almost the opposite.
Yeah.
Because I have this sweet card now that has money on it, and I'm thinking, yeah, let's go with the nice plan. Let's do that.
Exactly. Well, and me, the health actuary who's supposed to know these things, I don't really either. I don't shop around because the resources are not available to do so.
Oh, no.
So people aren't really shopping around. They're just avoiding care completely.
Yeah.
And that's what we saw in the tweets that we read earlier. So they're looking at this information. They're saying this is actually making people sicker because they're not going to the doctor when they need to.
Hmm.
So we're starting to see some big articles like this as high deductible plans become more popular.
It seems like such a fine line between a high deductible plan and people not using insurance when they need it and getting medical care, and fully covered plan and people abusing and going too often and wasting resources that other people need.
That's a great point. Honestly, that's what the insurance company is thinking about. They want you to have skin in the game, so you only go when you need to. But then you ask how much skin is too much skin.
Yeah. Wow.
And you can't really, right now in our market, you can't sell insurance based on people's income. That's just not done. Okay. That's not how you do it. So, and maybe that will change. We're seeing a little bit of that with the Affordable Care Act, where people are getting subsidies to help pay for things.
Yeah.
But it's still a big problem.
Real quick, I just had a thought. Is there any way, I know right now I feel really comfortable and actually like Team HSA. is there any way that you could carefully and graciously tell me some negatives?
Sure.
That the HSA may happen, you know, that may come with HSA.
Yeah. I could talk about if you get the wrong HSA plan. If you get what you think is an HSA, but it turns out to be a flex spending account, that's the use it or lose it plan. If you don't use the money, it's just gone. So that's no good. One of the other downsides of HSA plans is there's a limit on how much you can put in there. So let's say you've got a $5,000 high deductible plan. You've got to pay $5,000 out of pocket before your insurance coverage kicks in. Well, the contribution limit for 2016 is $3,350.
So there's a $2,000 gap right there.
Right. So that's a definite downside of these HSAs, is right now the limits are set so low that you may still be crunched for cash if you meet your deductible all at once.
Very interesting.
But that brings us to our second news article.
Ooh, yes.
So this came out today. This is in Forbes magazine, Forbes Online. And it says, "Today, the U.S. House of Representatives will pass sweeping expansions of health savings accounts." So, and then they go on to explain some of the provisions of the bill. One of them is to increase those limits. So they're proposing you increase them.
When you say limits, You mean limits that I can contribute?
Exactly. Okay. Right now, it's at that 3,350 number.
Okay.
They're proposing to increase it up to the max out-of-pocket that an insurer can require you to pay.
Question. So if it's 3,300 and whatever for max, does that count what maybe my employer puts in? Or is that a different category?
That's the amount of money that is tax deductible.
Oh, so it doesn't matter who puts it in.
Right.
That is the max.
Right.
Okay. For tax deduction.
Right. Now you could drop in post-tax money all you want, but that's the same as pulling it out of your checking account.
Yep.
So yeah, this bill that this article is talking about today, they are expanding how much you can contribute that is still tax deductible. So that's a great thing.
I like that.
That helps people with that $5,000 high deductible cover those costs easier. So that's a good thing. One of the other things they're doing is they're repealing the medicine cabinet tax.
What? What's this medicine cabinet tax?
Well, you haven't heard of that one. No,
I guess it hasn't made it to my Twitter feed just yet.
And I'm going to be real honest. I hadn't heard of that one either, which I'm a little embarrassed that I haven't heard of it.
Yeah.
But it's basically this medicine cabinet tax prevents over-the-counter medication, so things like Tylenol, aspirin, Allegra, NyQuil, whatever else.
Things found in your medicine cabinet.
Things found in your medicine cabinet.
That's connected.
It prevents you from purchasing these things with your HSA.
Wait, it prevents? Oh, so I don't like the Medicine Cabinet Act.
You don't like the medicine cabinet tax.
Tax.
This bill repeals that.
Yes.
So if this bill goes through, if Obama signs it, it becomes law, then you can use your health savings account to buy things that go in your medicine cabinet. Aspirin, things you don't need a prescription for.
That are still a medical need.
Exactly.
Wow.
So those are two of the things that they just approved. They passed overwhelmingly, and I believe now it'll go to the Senate and go through that whole song and dance.
Oh, man, my fingers are crossed.
Yeah, it's really promising news for HSA holders.
Yeah, very cool. Well, I do believe it is time to wind down and draw this episode to a close.
Huh. Well, we'd love to hear from everyone. Do you guys have an HSA? Do you have a high deductible health plan? Let us know. If you're not sure, go check it out. Go call up your employee benefits person at work, or go check and see if you have these available to you.
That's right.
And otherwise, you know, leave us feedback. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. Email is healthoclock@gmail.com. We also have the Facebook page and Twitter, and pretty much if you're listening to this, I'm sure you can figure out how to get in contact with us.
And next show will be on public health.
Ooh, public health. Cool. Well, thank you for listening. And as always, hit that subscribe button right there on that webpage.
Bye, everyone.
Have a good week.